Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be here today. And we are starting spring break today in the legislature. So what a better place than Chillicothe to start our spring break. And so it's great to be here. When I walked in, a man from the co-op brought me an article from 1992, and it had my picture speaking to FFA members. So haven't changed a bit. That's kind of a scary picture, but thank you very much for that. So you just never know, do you? But it's great to be here. I've got to sneak out for a few minutes at 8:30 to do a radio interview. So it's not anything personal, Mike. So, but I'm the only one that can leave, so everybody else has to stay and listen to you. So it's always great to be here. I checked in the hotel last night, and there was a nice wine basket in my room. So that's a good way to come to Chillicothe. So anyway, on the way over here, the wine bottles were like all over my back seat. So so I just hope I don't get pulled over on the way home today. So,
if it's in Chillicothe, the truck can help you.
Is that right?
You're on your own.
Do I get out of jail card? Is that right?
We can probably work on
that. Okay, great. As long as I'm in the city limits. So, well, it's an honor being your state senator. You've got a great community. I love coming to Chillicothe because everyone works so well together. And when you need help, you're willing to reach out to elected officials, and that makes our job easier as well. We're at the halfway point of our legislative session, and so this is the time when we go back home and listen to constituents and find out what's going on, and also for us to tell you kind of our thoughts about how the session is going. One of the big things that we do is the budget, and it's not an easy decision. We've got to figure out how to spend $26 billion among the 6 million residents of the state of Missouri. The House has done a great job. They've gotten it done about 3 weeks early this year and sent it over to the Senate. And when we get back from our break around the end of March, then we'll tackle it. We should be done by the middle part of April. Revenues are coming in a little bit better than they have in the past, so that makes some decisions a little easier than the past. But there's still some very, very tough decisions. We cannot spend one more dime than we take in. And so it forces us to make a lot of tough decisions. It forces us to say no, or we have to freeze budgets and things like that. But it's something we have to do in order to have a balanced budget, and that's one thing that we'll do. As it was mentioned in the my introduction, I still serve as chairman of the Senate Education Committee. And that means that we always have plenty to talk about and lots of things to work on. In fact, as soon as I'm done with my meeting here, I'm going to meet with somebody named Roger Barnes. Anybody ever heard of him? Superintendent. So, but that's a pleasure to get to talk with our elected officials and those who represent our schools. So, my biggest challenge as the chairman of the Senate Education Committee is to realize that most folks in public education do a great job, and we've got great schools. The 524 school districts across the state, most of them are doing a really good job. And so just let them do what they do best. Get out of their way, let them teach, let the students learn, and they'll do fine. The problem is we have some districts that aren't doing very well, primarily the Kansas City and St. Louis districts and that area. And so what can we do to help them, give them the skills and the tools they need to get back up on their feet, to help those kids that are trapped in unaccredited districts, and yet at the same time, let's don't adversely affect what's going on in Chillicothe, in Carrollton, in Warrensburg, and things like that. And that's not easy to do. When you have some districts that are very, very affluent, and when you have some districts that are very, very poor. When you have some districts that are growing rapidly, and when you have some districts that are declining. And yet, those 800,000 kids, they're all Missourians. So those are things that keep me up at night. One thing that is good, though, is my counterpart over in the House, who is the I don't know what your title is, guru or
education czar.
Czar, okay, he's the czar. It's always funny when I have people from this district. I'll say, well, they come to talk to me, and I'll say, have you met with Representative Blair? And I can always tell if they have or not, because usually they go, oh yeah, we've met with Representative Blair. Or if they haven't, go, no, we haven't met him. You can always tell if they've been there or not. So he's a tough act to follow. But he does a great job because he oversees all of the education committees, and I just can rest knowing that Representative Blair is out there looking for your interests as well. I think I'm going to turn it over to Mike, and then we'll probably have time for some questions. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we want to do that.
I do.
You have some questions?
No, I have time.
Okay, you have time.
I only live three blocks away.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, it's a pleasure being here, and we'll turn it over to Mike, and then we'll probably have some time for some questions. Thank you very much.
If you're a senator, you dress up pretty, and you stand up front and do a monologue. If you're a final term House member, you get comfy and you tell it like it is. I've never done this before. I've never smoozed a fellow member, but it's nice to trust the guy across the aisle. And there aren't very many of those in the Senate. And I don't mean that meanly. I mean that I know this guy well enough now that if somebody comes to me and tells me that he said something negative or stupid, I can say, no, he didn't. He didn't say that. Because I know him. Livingston County is, and I'm not going to say you're lucky because you have me, because that would be stupid. But you're lucky because the top two education guys in the General Assembly both represent Livingston County. He is the head of the Senate Education Committee, and I have the Select Committee in the House. And, you know, it really makes me feel good to know that, you know, that rural Missouri has a finger in the pie. I'm not going to say we do everything right, but at least we make sure that the rural kid isn't forgotten. There are many people in that body that don't understand rural school. Someone introduced a bill a week ago that said any school district under 350 needs to be combined with another district. So it would be forced consolidation. I have seen that. I have seen it done both ways. If you want to create hatred beyond belief, think about what it would be like to say Trenton and Chillicothe must consolidate. There are people that won't vote for me in Trenton because I'm from Chillicothe. They still don't like you people. I don't know what the hell you did to them. But whatever it was, forced consolidation doesn't work. The other side of it is the way Iowa did it. Iowa did it with economic incentives that if you do get together, if you create some organizations that save some money or save some bus routes or, you know, something, there will be an economic incentive involved. You know, there are ways to do that without upsetting people. And, you know, it was really funny as the kid, he's probably 30, who filed that bill was a homeschooler. And so you understand that he doesn't understand. Also realize out of 163 members, 100 of them are from Kansas City and St. Louis. So that leaves us in the minority. Now, the nice thing about that is they really dislike each other. They don't like each other, St. Louis and Kansas City. They don't like Royals or whatever the other outfit is. They don't like the Rams or the Chiefs. No, they don't like any of those. They fight about that all the time. And, of course, you also realize what we're made up of. There are no rural senators. Did you know that? There's not one senator from a rural district. There are only, I think, two House members who are Democrats. rural districts. They're all from urban districts. It's gone that way, and it's been progressively that way since I came in 2008. In 2008, we had 89 members. You need 82 to pass a bill. So we went every day. The next year we had, I believe it was 96, and then 106, and now we have 118. During those same 8 years that I will serve, Governor Nixon and President Obama were elected. And so for my entire tenure, I've been playing defense. And Senator Pierce is a nice man. I am not. The budget, we got it out 3 weeks early in the House, sent it to the Senate 3 weeks early because of all the problems we've had with Governor Nixon vetoing and withholding school legislation and other legislation for the different agencies. And so we put it out 3 weeks early. He's only got X number of days before he's got to do something with it. We're still in session when the decision's made. And so we can overwrite it before we go home. We don't have to listen to it all summer. We can take care of it before we go home. We come back in veto session. Then we can look at Amendment 10 that you guys passed last year that said he cannot withhold unless it's constitutional the way it was meant to be. He can't withhold unless there is a downturn in revenue. And we can overturn his withholds as well. So, we're getting things done. My leadership this time is the best I've had in all four times. And I know this sounds damn Germanic, but the damn trains run on time. When we have a 10 o'clock session, my God, the gavel goes down at 10. If we have a caucus meeting at 8, we start at 8. And that hasn't ever been the case before. And I know that, you know, that does sound very Germanic, but I'm sorry, but that's, I like it. I like that situation. There have been 1,505 total filings this year, and 20% of them are usually education. And so even with my limited math skills, somewhere around 300 bills will be focusing on my committee shortly. So far, well, he told me that I did budget before. I was appropriations before. It would have been really easy to finish out the last 2 years appropriations, you know, do it in your sleep. But we lost some good education guys. And I went to the speaker and said, if you need me to help policy, I'll do that. Well, he put me in this, and he said, okay, you're the gatekeeper. Nothing gets through that we don't want on the floor. And so my first committee meeting, I said, okay, picture this now, folks. I get two pictures when I think of a gatekeeper. First of all is St. Peter. And robes and the big book and, oh, sorry, you know, and that way. The other side is the bouncer at the bar in Westport. Now, you folks decide which one you think I am. And there's nothing getting through this committee that's going to be stupid on the floor. I've already returned 8 bills to the Committee of Origin that, you know, would not have been good for kids, would not have been good for education in Missouri. And so that's my job. You know, returning 8, passing 15, that's 23. Hell, I only have 270-some to go. And hopefully they won't refer them all to committee. Things are going really well. I printed off the list of the official list of stuff we did. And it's, you don't want to hear about all of it, but right to work. Not all of you would be happy to hear that that passed, but I think it's a good thing for the industry in our state. I wouldn't have voted for it if I didn't. Voter ID, it's not voter suppression, and yet, of course, we're accused of that. Medical malpractice reform. Any lawyers? Okay. lawyers. Oh, we got one? No.
In a past life.
You're a judge. Hell, you're not a lawyer. We replaced the 350,000 limit rather than the $50 million settlements that we see. We have seen, we've replaced them, and we did it in a way that the Supreme Court should find them acceptable. We passed the budget, of course. Welfare reform, we did that yesterday. And we finished it up yesterday. And this is one of those things that's hard. Everybody wants us to expand Medicaid. Two states that expanded Medicaid immediately when the federal government last month, and they have now got to come up with $80 million. Now, to pay their share. I look at our budget, and I'm wondering, where do we come up with $80 million to pay that share? We increased education this time of course, it's not done yet, but at our point, $74 million we added to the formula. So that would have been all of that. Or some other social program, but those are the only places where there are that kind of monies. Those are the only places where it is. So what do you not do? Well, yesterday we decreased the TANF money from 60 months to 30 months. And of course, the entire time we were being told what horrible human beings we were. TANF starts with the word temporary. 60 months is 5 years. 5 years isn't temporary. I would bet you in this room, when you've hit a hard spot, when you've had trouble making the bills, you figured out how to do it. And you may have been underemployed, and you may have been tired as hell, but you got it done. I'm hoping we can retrain people so that generational welfare becomes a thing of the past. Education, one of the big things is the transfer bill, how to get kids out of the failing districts into the collar community. You know, you first of all have to deal with tuition. How do you give them enough tuition so that the collar communities can educate these kids, but keep it low enough so that you're not killing the sending school? That was one thing. Transportation, who pays to move the kids back and forth? How do you choose which ones? We have really worked hard on charter schools. And I know a lot of people don't like charter schools, but a well-run charter school gives you at least a choice. And we work, first of all, with the charter schools in the district, and then out, and then other districts, good buildings within the district. We gave them some choices. We gave them a chance to get some skin in their own game, in their own kids' education. And hopefully that will help some. Did a big ag bill with for the dairy industry. I don't know if you realize the Missouri dairy industry is, has been almost down the toilet. It's been terrible. Nixon vetoed that our omnibus bill, and it was, you know, it wasn't a good bill. There was too much in it. But this does it again this year, what we did last year. And something I'm always proud of, we rejected a pay raise for the fourth time. Only government would set up a system where you have to vote not to get a raise. Every 2 years, the Governor's Commission gives you a recommendation as to how much money you should make, and you have to vote not to get that raise. But we also voted not to give the other statewide elected officials their raises either. So at least that feels better. Anyway, oh, he's back. How are you?
Good, very good, very good.
Good. I told him all bad things about you.
All bad things, okay. Yep. Well, you would think they'd filibustered in the House, wouldn't you? So,
That's more than I've talked to the all week.
Yeah. Do we have time for a few questions?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
Any questions? Go here.
I have one. Could you please talk about what's going to happen, or if there's still funding available, or...
Okay. For those who couldn't hear, he asked about A-Plus and the status of the program. A-Plus is a program designed for students that if it wasn't for that program, they couldn't go to college. It's for community college, 2 free years of community college. The students have to qualify for the program. They have to have certain grade point averages, have to stay out of trouble. They have to do some mentoring and things like that. It's been a wonderful program. It really is very successful. And the commitment is that if you do that, then you get 2 free years of community college. Sadly, this year, there wasn't enough funding for the very end to pay for any credit hours over 14 credit hours. So the students then had to kick in anything over 14 credit hours for the most part. We implored the governor to put money in a supplemental bill to pay for that extra tuition, and the governor did not put that in his request for supplement. So. If I guess we could say it was not fully funded this year for the first year. I do know a lot of community colleges just went ahead and paid for that and did not put that burden on the student because they felt that it was not keeping up with the commitment to the student. So I do know that in the future, that when we're looking at the budget right now, that we want to be sure to fully fund A-Plus to make sure that we keep that commitment to the student. Community college is a tremendous opportunity, and it gives the kids a leg up, and so we need to fund it. Mike?
One of the bills that I've turned back was one to give A-plus money to homeschoolers. And, you know, so that would be an additional drain on the program. And, of course, there's always a push to give it to private school people. So realize how it's under attack all the time. And we are always trying to protect that money. And especially with NCMC here, you know, I get a real clear picture of what it means to our kids to get it. We also had a bill that disallowed, how do we say, the people who were, the kids who were here illegally.
Oh, yeah.
The status, what is their status?
undocumented or unlawful presence?
Unlawful presence. There was a bill not to allow anyone with an unlawful presence to take part in the program. Now, you know, I understand that, but if we were fully funded, if we had the money, those kids need to be into our system. And how do you get them enculturalized? While we're not fully funded, I agree, they shouldn't have that. But when we get fully funded, those kids didn't do anything wrong. They didn't come here on their own. And they will become part of us. So they can either participate in the society, or they can become a ward of that society. I would rather they participate. So eventually, I think they will become part of it. Or I hope they do.
Thanks. Any other questions?
Yeah. Yes, everyone is, the House and the Senate both very active in trying to get the governor to release the funds that he's withheld?
She asked about, are we working with the governor's office to release the funds that he's withheld? You know, when we leave in May every year, we turn the budget over to the governor. And then that's his ability to release funds or to withhold funds. So, for example, if revenues are coming in short, then he can withhold funds. And he did that. We feel in the legislature that he should release all of those withholds. We feel that the money is there. And so the governor's taken a hard stand to not release hardly any of those.
And so, a whole session last year.
Right. When people ask us to put pressure on the governor, he's not going to listen to us. So it has to come from groups and organizations and people that are affected by the withholds.
I think he always listens to you. No, Jeremiah doesn't listen much. You don't see him in the building a lot.
Right. But I don't know that everyone is educated enough to know that it falls on their shoulders.
Right. And what we're working on right now is the budget that starts on July 1st.
Right.
July 1st through June 30th. So we're really making budget projections for the next 16 months, but that's hard to do. I mean, it's just a guess what we're doing on the budget. Mayor?
To both of you, Senator, you and Representative Blair, what's been the discussion? I know recently in Washington, D.C., they said that they made release of the money that they had for highway construction to the state so that they can redistribute that to cities and counties again. They're also talking about fuel tax. That's a big conversation piece right now. What do you hear in Jeff City, or what do you guys fault? Because our highways, just like our roads here and our county roads, are falling apart.
I really don't know, Chuck. I haven't heard much at all about that point. I know we do have people on roads and on travel, but I don't know.
You mind?
Yeah.
You know, I've heard MoDOT a couple of times, at least the last couple of days, but the legislature, we understand, can add 2 cents to the gas tax without voting the people. And actually, and that 2 cents would allow us to get matching money from the federal government. Otherwise, we're going to run out. If we're waiting here, we start running out. But, you know, so like, if that 2 cents brings in, you know, $100 million or something, or $150, you know, then we can get another $300 million of federal money. Otherwise, we lose out on that. Actually, the city and the counties would get 30%, I think, of the 2 cent increase. So we get 15 cents each. So it's a big issue for cities and counties, too. So we'd like you to consider that. Because that didn't have to be a vote of the people. You can do 2 cents a year.
Well, one thing about it is the federal highway bill, and we just kind of have to wear the mercy of Washington. But there has been a bill that's been proposed in the House, a 2-2-2, and 2 cents every year the fuel tax, and then that would be under the Hancock limit, so the legislature can do that. I would be supportive of that. To me, with our highways, you get what you pay for, and if we don't have a certain match by 2017, we're going to go down to $325 million for our highways, $325 million, and just 4 years ago, it was $1.1 billion. So we're going to have just a fourth of funding for our highways that we did just 4 years ago if we don't do something. So no new projects, no new roads, no new bridges, no new overpasses with MoDOT funding right now, unless we come up with some other revenues.
Will a new tax pass itself?
It might. I don't know. We put on the ballot last year for a 1 cent sales tax, with the exception of groceries and pharmacy, and we did pass it in the Senate, but there are four senators that filibustered it. So I would assume those four senators would still be opposed to it. So it's not easy. So. Any other questions? Yes.
Earlier in a speech, I heard the term, the rural kid isn't forgotten. How and what is Congress doing to not forget the rural kids? I represent KMCU, a rural station. Either person.
Was that talking Congress or us?
Well, you mentioned earlier when you were talking about education, the rural kid not being forgotten. What is specifically being done to benefit the rural community and the education system besides A+, which has already been mentioned?
I'll let you go first.
Sorry.
The A+ is the one thing, because that's one thing that, you know, that's one entitlement that we take, you know, that an awful lot of rural folks qualify for and take. That's one thing. Another is in that transfer bill, as was mentioned earlier, we have over 520 school districts. And the transfer bill is focused on two or three of those districts. And we have to keep reminding these people and redoing them and amending bills to make sure that it doesn't adversely affect the rural kids on those things. As far as I had a bill that I turned back that said that all homeschool kids could participate in athletics, and then it was amended to say any school activity. Now, I went to my rural group, one of which sitting behind our illustrious mayor, and you know, and they told me specifically what chaos that would create in a rural community with FFA, with all of the other organizations, and you know, that bill isn't going to go. Of course, I worked with Misha too, and work through it. Check this out. If that bill would pass, you would have to find every homeschooled child within the district and add them to that master list you send Misha every September, because they are all possibly on a team. Now, homeschoolers, in a lot of cases, don't like to be on any list. And so finding those people, putting them on there, you know, that, so it's just those kinds of things to make sure you have rural kids, rural schools, you know, in mind. The idea that a forced consolidation, you know, that would be terrible. That would be terrible. You know, and I understand the economy of means. I understand that. We're, you know, having one advanced physics teacher to be able to split between 10 schools, maybe over the internet, might work really well. But you're not going to take those 10 schools and put them all together in the same way. Keep an eye. Lots of other ways too.
One small example is we're working on the budget right now and the foundation formula. And there's a small schools grant of $15 million out there for districts that have 350 students or less, primarily for rural districts. Some of my colleagues in the city want to get rid of that. They want to take that away. They think it's helping rural Missouri, and that rural Missouri is not doing their fair share as far as operating levies and things like that. I totally disagree with that. But yet there's those that have that urban versus rural mentality. So it's something that Representative Blair and I are always fighting to make sure that we're heard and represented when it comes to funding for rural Missouri. We have time for one more.
Sure.
Okay. Yes.
The 911 user and the cell phones.
Mike, I think it's 911 user fee. I think you've got a bill over the house on that.
We do, and Daryl probably knows more about it than I do.
It is moving along, and thanks to the support of these two guys. And again, it's rural versus metro. You know, St. Louis and Kansas City wants to put the phone cards with us and all those fees. And so there's some amendments. I believe it's went through your group of passing, so I think we're up for a vote or hearing. I guess when you guys come back
The problem with 911, for the most part, the funding is based on landlines. You remember when you used to go to the wall and take the phone off and they had a board? Well, nobody does that anymore. Everybody's got cell phones, and so there's not a tax on that. And yet 80% of our 911 calls come from cell phones. And so we've just got to come up with a different funding mechanism on that.
Just to follow up on that, it hasn't been happening. What's your forecast? Do you think something actually will get accomplished?
On 911?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think it will. And especially when, it's up here where we have the majority of the problem. Because we've got, extremely large areas that need to consolidate and get together and run them together. And I think we've got the mindset to do that.
St. Louis area, they've got like 92 municipalities. Many of them have their own 911 call centers. That's ridiculous. You know, they need to somewhat consolidate those and for safety reasons, if for nothing else, and then also cost.
We can do that up here, though. When we've consolidated in Livingston County,
right.
We couldn't, take Trenton, Brookfield, Thomas, Carroll, because we don't know the area. You get a call out in the middle of nowhere,
right.
We'd have those.
Right. Well, Representative Lehrer.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's a pleasure visiting with you all. Thanks for coming. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Good question, so appreciate that.
Well, thank you. You had a good answer.
Oh, well, good. Okay. That's great.